3, verse number 12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we're thankful again for this day, thankful for another opportunity to be here in church. Very thankful for each one that's come. I have some people with us today that haven't been able to come for a while. Lord, we're very thankful that they're with us today. And Lord, thankful for all you do for us, for all your goodness, your grace, for your love and mercy. Most of all, thankful for salvation. Thankful, Lord, that you endured all that you endured, the horrible things that you went through, Lord, so that we could have heaven as our home. We give you praise and thanks for that. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the least of your mercies. So we're thankful today for every blessing that you send our way. Thankful for this church, these people. Thankful, Lord, for a place where we can still get together and study the true word of God and sing these good old gospel hymns and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help our church to move forward and to always strive to be the church that you want it to be. Lord, please fill me with your spirit now and help me to say exactly what you want said in the message. Please give me your help, your liberty, your grace. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we just read is familiar to most faithful church attenders. It has been preached from countless times through the years, referenced on numerous occasions, and I'm sure many of you, probably the majority of you here today, are familiar with this passage. And Lord willing, today I'm going to use this text to preach a message titled Pressing On, Pressing On. And as an introduction to the message, as well as to lay a foundation for what I'm going to say later on, I want us to have at least a basic understanding of what Paul is saying here in these verses. So look with me once again, if you would, there at verse number 12, and notice Paul starts verse 12 by saying, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He starts this verse out by letting us know, as we like to say, that he had not arrived. He was not perfect. And here he's not really talking about perfect in the sense of sinless, which is a given because the Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Amen. So we understand that he wasn't sinless, but that's not the way he's using the term perfect. In fact, many times in the Bible, when that term is used, it is not a reference to being without sin. It has to do with wholeness and completeness. So when Paul says here, I'm not perfect, he's talking about not being perfect in the sense of completely or wholly accomplishing God's will and purpose for his life. And that's clear from what you read in the remainder of these verses. For example, look again at verse 12 and notice he goes on to say, but I follow after, that if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Notice what he's talking about there in the verse. He's talking about apprehending the thing for which he was apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the context here. The context is Paul trying to lay hold upon that thing, that purpose, that will for which the Lord Jesus Christ apprehended him. Notice he says, I follow after that if that I may apprehend that, the that being that will, that purpose that God had for his life, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. To apprehend is to seize, is to grasp, is to take into custody. So the Lord had laid hold on the Apostle Paul. He had a purpose, a plan for his life. And Paul is saying here, I want to lay hold on that thing for which I have been apprehended. But then notice what he says in verse 13. And this goes back to the point of him not being perfect or complete in that sense. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I want to apprehend that for which I was apprehended, but at this point, I have not apprehended. He says, I count not myself to apprehended, which means I have not fully grasped, I have not fully laid hold of that thing for which the Lord apprehended me. But he says, this one thing I do. Even though I have not apprehended, this is what I do. I'm pressing on. That's what he says in the remainder of verse 13 and verse 14. So Paul realized where he was. He realized that he had not fully accomplished God's will and purpose for his life. He knew that. He understood that. But he says, what I'm doing is I'm pressing on. I'm not going to be satisfied where I'm at. Even though I might have gained some ground, even though I might have accomplished some of that will, even though I might be closer to accomplishing that will and that purpose than I've ever been before, I know I have it, and so what I'm going to do is keep pressing on. That's basically what Paul is saying in verses 12 to 14, and with that in mind, there are three things that I want to give you this morning that I personally take away from what Paul says here. First thing that I want to say is this. To me, what I read in verses 12 to 14, and I realize passages mean different things to different people depending on what's going on in your life when you read it. But to me, when I read verses 12 to 14, I find here it's a word that encourages. A word that encourages. And I say that because the Apostle Paul was a great Christian. If you have read the Word of God, if you've read the New Testament, the book of Acts and the epistles that he wrote, you can see and tell from the things that he did, the things that he said, that Paul was a tremendous Christian. In fact, I have said it and I've heard other people say that it's very likely Paul's the greatest Christian that ever lived on this earth up to this point. I think a strong argument for that could be made without question. He was a fine Christian man. And it's real easy to get so amazed by the level of spirituality that you see in his life that you forget he was just a human. And passages like the one we're reading right here, and there's many other you find in the Bible, but passages like this remind us that Paul was not superhuman, he was just human. Yes, he was a great Christian, but at the end of the day, he was just a man. He was a man of like passions as you and I are, the Bible teaches. So he wasn't superhuman, he was just a human. And what I learned here is that progress in his own spiritual life was a process that took time and effort. That's how it was even with the Apostle Paul. In fact, I want you to think about this, and I wanted to point this out for the benefit of those within our congregation who are up in years. And all you got to do is look around, and you know that we have several in our congregation that are up in years. And let me say this, as I have said it before, I thank God for every single senior citizen we have in this church. And I hope and pray that all of us in here realize that we are to give them our respect. And we are to appreciate the sacrifices that they have made through the years so that us younger people could enjoy the quality of life that we enjoy nowadays. And that's not just outside of the church, but in the church as well. So I don't mean what I'm about to say in any way to be disrespectful. I mean it to be a help. But whenever the Apostle Paul wrote what he did here in Philippians chapter 3, by his own admission, he was already an old man. And the reason I know that is because Philippians is known as a prison epistle. You got four of Paul's epistles that are called prison epistles. They're given that title because he wrote each one of them while he was in prison. Another one of those is the little book Philemon or Philemon. Y'all familiar with that book? It's only got three chapters. Y'all believe that? I'm checking y'all out right here. Philemon ain't got but one chapter. Some of y'all was looking to chapter 3 right then. I seen you. He's trying to find it. It might be in the NIV, but not in the Bible, okay? One chapter. But that is another of his prison epistles. And if you check the date for the book of Philippians and you check the date for the book of Philemon, you find that both of those books were written right around the same time. The date given is A.D. 64. That is the date given for the writing of both of those books. So he wrote Philippians and he wrote Philemon right about the same time. And guess what he says about himself in the book of Philemon? Well, hold your place right here and let's just take a look at it. And just in case you don't know where it is, it's right before the book of Hebrews. And it's right after the book of Titus. And Philemon is a real personal letter. It was a letter that Paul wrote to an individual by the name of Philemon. And he had a specific purpose for which he wrote this epistle to this man. And I want you to notice what Paul says about himself when he's writing this. In Philemon, look at verse number 8. Philemon, verse number 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. To enjoin is to direct with emphasis or authority. It's basically to give a command. So he's saying, I could be bold here and just tell you what to do. But look at verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as, look at it, Paul the what? The aged. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. When Paul writes this, by his own admission, he's got some age on him. He's not a young buck anymore. He's not a young preacher anymore. He's not a man who's just getting started out in the ministry. Some years have gone by. Some waters passed under the bridge. He's an older man at this point in his ministry. And that amazes me because even after being saved for a number of years, Paul still says back in Philippians chapter 3, I count not myself to have apprehended. What he's saying is even now as an old man, even though I'm an older person, got some age on me, I still am not where I want to be and where I need to be in my spiritual life. But this is what I'm doing. I'm pressing on. Even in his old age. Do y'all see that? Even in his old age, he's keeping on, keeping on. He's pressing on, still pressing toward that mark. He realizes he has not arrived. He's not perfect yet, but he keeps on going. He hasn't got to that point in his life where he's beginning to let his declining health and his age become an excuse to be content and set down on God and quit striving to be what the Lord wants him to be. Y'all understand that? And that's what I want to say to those of you in here that have got some age on you now. Some water's passed under the bridge. You're not as young as you once were, which is true for all of us, I guess. But some of you have been around a little longer than others of us. Let's put it like that. And maybe you're starting to feel the effects of your age. Maybe you're starting to realize that you're not what you used to be. I see a lot of tapping and bumping and rubbing going on. A lot of head shaking. Maybe your eyes are getting a little dim, having to wear bifocals now. And maybe with every year they get a little thicker. Get to where they look like bottle, the bottom of a bottle, you know what I mean? Maybe you're hurting in places you didn't even know exist. You're feeling the effects of your age. You know what's easy? And I admit, I'm not there yet. I'm not as old as some of you are, but I can already feel myself aging. I can. I can tell that my body is declining slowly, that it's not what it used to be. But you know what's easy as you get that age on you like that? Just from what I see and the things that I hear, what's easy? Just to kind of settle down where you are. Just be satisfied with where you are. Because after all, as you get older, it takes a little more to muster up the strength and the energy to do the things that you know you could still do. It might require a little more effort. It might take a little more time, but you could still do it. But what I see so often is older people begin to use their age and their declining health as an excuse to just sit down and quit on God. Listen, Paul's an old man here, and he says, I'm not perfect, I have not apprehended, but I'm not about to quit now. I'm going to keep pressing on. That's a word of encouragement to me. This thing encourages me, and I hope for those of you that are older, and even those of us that are younger, we take some courage from what Paul says here. Yeah, we may not be where we need to be. In fact, I'd go out on a limb and say none of us are where we need to be. Highly unlikely that any of us in here have got to the level, that full level that we could be at and we need to be at in our own spiritual lives. But listen, even though we're not there, we can keep pressing on. We can keep pressing on. And that's the way it needs to be in our lives. We need to take courage from what Paul says. Yeah, we may not be perfect. Yeah, we may still have a long way to go. Hopefully we're not where we used to be. Amen. Hopefully we have made some progress in our lives and we have matured some spiritually and we have got on the road to accomplishing God's will and purpose for our life. So hopefully we're not where we used to be, but still got some distance to travel. Amen. Room for improvement. More to be done. Hopefully we'll take courage from this and move on and continue this journey. That's really what it is. The Christian life is a journey. And I think about Paul. He talks about pressing on. And I think about the things that I've read about his life. Do you understand what kind of a journey Paul went on during his life? Man, he went from the mountain to the valley, back to the top of the mountain, down in the valley. He went through all kinds of ups and downs. He went through good times. He went through bad times. By his own testimony right here in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I know how to abound and I know how to suffer need. Everything wasn't rosy in his life. Yeah, he got to see thousands upon thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a great and awesome thing to be a part of. Amen. But that same man that got to start those churches and be responsible for the conversion of all those people also was a man who was stoned to the point of death. Beaten with rods, shipwrecked, a night and day in the deep, perils constantly by his own countrymen, the cares of the churches, all that stuff upon him. His journey from where he started to where he ended wasn't this rose-littered lane where he had no obstacles or problems. Man, he had all kinds of ups and downs as he traveled along that way. But you know what he did? He just kept pressing on. He just kept pressing on. And listen, if you're looking for everything to be hunky-dory and you never have any obstacles, never have any downs in your life, you just need to get you some new glasses because that ain't the way it is, friend. We need to take courage and press on. Yes, it's wonderful to be saved and we have so many mountaintop experiences where we get to taste a little bit of the glory of God. And man, it's so wonderful. Isn't it great when he just drops you down some of those handfuls on purpose like Boaz did for Ruth? Isn't that wonderful when God does that? Some of y'all looking at me like you're crazy. Let me tell you something. Hopefully by now you've had some of them handfuls on purpose. Some of that stuff he's just done for you. Man, that's wonderful. But let's be real. Let's be real. We have problems too, don't we? We need to press on in spite of it. Take courage. Press on in spite of failures. We all fail, right? Paul wasn't perfect. He was a man who said in Romans chapter 7, y'all remember, this is another one of those passages that reminds you he was a human being. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. He said, I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And the thing that I want to do, for that I do not allow. You know what that's saying? That's saying I've made a lot of mistakes. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've done some things wrong. We all mess up. But listen, the Bible says a just man falleth seven times and he riseth up. You're going to fail along the way. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to blow it. That's just the way it is. But you need to press on in spite of the failures. Press on in spite of the difficulty of the journey. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes being a Christian is not easy. I think I told you one time. But some time back, a few years ago, Matthew told me one day, and you know, kids, they just put it out there. He said, Daddy, sometimes I just don't like being a Christian. And it troubled me a little bit, and I said, well, why is that? He said, well, because I'm a Christian, I can't do some of the things I want to do. That's kind of profound, isn't it? Sometimes being a Christian is hard. Sometimes to be a Christian, I'm not talking about to get saved, I'm talking about to be faithful to God, you got to make some sacrifices. Sometimes you got to put up with stuff you really don't want to have to put up with. Everything down inside of you just like to sock them in the nose, amen? But sometimes you just got to put up with it. The journey's not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult being a Christian and being faithful, but Paul pressed on in spite of the difficulty. In spite of the times that he failed, and we need to press on even when it seems like we're not making any progress. Have you ever noticed how sometimes in the Christian life, it seems like you're just kind of stuck in a rut, and you're not really making any progress? I liken the Christian life to dieting and exercising, two things that I just absolutely hate. Dieting and exercising. Those of you in here that have never had a problem with weight, you don't understand this. But those of you that resemble the remarks I'm about to make, you get it. You ever been on a diet before and exercising and just about to starve to death every day of your life? But you know what a diet is. It's just you can't ever eat anything that tastes good anymore. It's all bland, doesn't have any flavor. I mean, let's be real about it. So you get on a diet, you live hungry. I'm grouchy all the time. And then you exercise, and you exercise, and you get up sore, and stove up, get out of bed the next day, say it'll make you feel better. Exercise is dangerous is what it is. Miss Page told me that. That's why she's been hobbling around, milking that for the last month. And what's really bad is when you go a week of exercising and dieting. Y'all ever done what I'm finna say? And get on that scale. I'm talking about I do everything I can. I get all but naked and get on that scale. I don't want nothing to weigh on me. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't lost a pound. Or maybe a half pound, you know, a few ounces. You know what that makes? That doesn't encourage me. I don't look down there and think, wow, I'm going to do this for another week. I want to go in there and get some ice cream or something. Say fooey on this mess. Well, that's kind of how it is in the Christian life, you know. You're going along there sometimes, and sometimes the progress is very evident. You can tell you're growing, that you're just getting closer to God, but then sometimes it seems like your prayers just go up and hit the ceiling and come right back down, and you can't really see any visible changes. Just, y'all know what I'm talking about? That's when it's hard to press on. You just well, what's the use? What's the use? Why go to church this Sunday? Why get up in the morning an hour before I go to work and read my Bible? Why keep on praying? You know, I go out soul winning. I don't, you know, I hand out tracts, talk to people, and don't, for months go by and you can't lead somebody to Christ. What's the use? It becomes easier just to stay at home. What I'm telling you, we need to take courage. And in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the failures, in spite of the apparent lack of progress sometimes, we need to keep pressing on. Keep pressing toward that mark. Now I got to give you two other things real quick. I got 6 minutes left. Not only is it a word that encourages, but number two, I want to say, for me, It's a word that energizes. It's a word that energizes. When I read this, it just, I don't know, puts a little energy in me. Because if you look at what Paul says here, he uses some energetic words, some words that require a little effort, some movement, some stuff going on. And what he does here is he kind of lays out for us what you have to do in order to press on. Pressing on is going to require some effort on our part, some stuff that we've got to do. Now, we understand that our strength comes from the Lord, right? We understand that. But the thing is, we can't just sit back on our blessed assurance and expect God to do everything. We have to be willing to do what we know He expects out of us so that He can strengthen us along in our journey. This thing energized. Look at this real quick. I'm just going to give it to you real quick. To press on, number one, you can't be fake. You can't be fake. You know what Paul is in this passage? It's what I love about it. Verse 12, he's real. He's honest. He just puts it right out there for all these people in Philippi and everybody that would read that letter down through the years, which includes every one of us. He puts it right out there. Hey, I ain't perfect. I have it apprehended. Paul's not living in the twilight zone. He's not trying to be fake. He's not trying to be pretentious or make these people think more highly of him than what they should think. He's honest. He's real about his condition. He tells us right here, I count not myself to have apprehended. If you're going to press on in your life, you can't be fake. You got to be real about where you are. You have to be honest with yourself and honest with God. All of us in here, I think, understand that before a person can really get help, they got to recognize they got a problem. So you can't be fake. You got to be real. You just got to come clean with yourself, come clean with God, and just say, look, I'm not where I need to be. The first step in pressing on is admitting you're not where you need to be, that there's room for improvement. Number two, not only do you have to be honest, you can't be fake. Second of all, you must forget. You must learn to forget. Look at what Paul says in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He's talking about anything behind him that would be a hindrance to him moving on in his life. Now, there's things that the Bible tells us we need to remember. You study the scripture and run the references, you'll find there's several places where we're told to remember things. Things behind us. Things that the Lord has done for us. So I don't think Paul's talking about anything like that. When he says forgetting those things which are behind, he's talking about anything in his past, anything behind him that would hinder him from moving on. And let's be honest about it. Everybody in here's got a past. Amen. We all got some stuff that, you know, we really wish we hadn't done stuff back there. But look, if you're going to press on, you can't be lingering in your mind back there. You got to forget that stuff. You got to get that mess out of your mind so that you can move on, press on in your life. So number one, you can't be fake. Number two, you got to learn to forget. And then thirdly, if you're going to press on, you got to reach forth. Here's some of that energy I'm talking about. Look at this, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That's movement. If you're going to follow somebody, there's got to be some movement there. I follow after. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. You know what that mark was? That mark that he was pressing for was what he had been apprehended for. That was his mark, his goal. He knew the Lord Jesus had laid hold on him, and there was something he wanted him to accomplish. That was Paul's constant mark out in front of him. I'm pressing. But you see the energy? I'm following. I'm reaching. I'm pressing. Man, if you're going to press on, you got to reach forth. Notice he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget that that's behind that'll hinder you. But anything out here in front of you that will help you to move on, you need to be reaching for that. What's some stuff that can help you to move on in your life, just from a practical perspective? What's some stuff you ought to be reaching for constantly in your life if you want to press on and keep going and accomplish the will of God? I tell you something you ought to reach for every day is your Bible. You ought to be reaching for that Bible every day. Instead of getting up and reaching for the remote, you ought to reach for that King James Bible. Instead of reaching for your cell phone, you ought to reach for that Bible. Instead of running to the computer, you ought to run to that Bible. Y'all following what I'm saying? You got to be reaching forth to some of that stuff that'll help you. Reach for that prayer closet. Get on your knees and spend some time with God. Spend some time talking it over with the Lord. Reach for church. Amen. Reach for going to church. That's a good thing that'll help you to stay faithful, to stay on the right track. Just being in church at the right time, hearing that teaching and hearing that preaching, that'll help you press on, man. That's what we need, reaching forth to those things. So it's a word that encourages. It's a word that energizes. Last of all, I want to say it's a word that excites. What I read here excites me. And I say that because of verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. That's a word we all like right there. Everybody in here likes a prize, right? Don't try to be spiritual. You like a prize. That's the only reason I ever ate any Cracker Jacks. I haven't eaten a box of Cracker Jacks in years. Do they still put the prize in the box? Man. I mean, they taste all right, but all really, when you're a little kid and somebody gave you a box of Cracker Jacks, what meant more to you, the Cracker Jacks or the prize in the box? You wanted the prize. It's like, and I don't know if they still do this, I don't eat a whole lot of it, but used to, they got this thing where they would put a prize in a box of cereal. You know what I mean? And you just dump the whole box of cereal out just because you want the prize. You want that. We like prizes. You go to a fair. You play those games. You know why you play those games other than to impress your girlfriend? Them old crooked things that's rigged that you can't ever win. You know why you see that big old bear hanging up there, whatever it is, the gopher, the goldfish, whatever. You want the prize. That's why you play those games. That's why you sign things and drop your name in a box when they're going to draw it out later on. You know why you do that? You want the prize. You want the gun or you want the gift card. You like the prize. You want it. A couple months ago, me and my family went to the Pizza Hut on a Monday night to eat supper. And when we came in, maybe it was when we were leaving, they had a big old bicycle sitting up there just to the right of where you check out. It was red and white, had Dr. Pepper. It was one of them older looking things. And they're giving this away. You just put your name and phone number on it and drop it in the box. They're going to draw it out. Well, Matthew wants to, he wants the bicycle. So we sign his name, put my wife's number on it, drop it in the box. Every single day after that, if my telephone rung, and I get, y'all know you get these telemarketers and all this stuff. If I don't recognize it nowadays, I don't even hardly answer it. I just, whatever. Every time my phone, I look at it, Matthew, who is it, Daddy? Answer it, it's the Pizza Hut. Answer it, it's the Pizza Hut. And here's his daddy now, the great man of faith that I am. I said, son, you ain't going to win that bicycle. Folks, he won that bicycle. It's sitting on our front porch right now. He won it. That was a prize to him. I sign my name and drop it. I don't win nothing. Nothing. We like the prize. Here's what I what's that? Yeah, maybe. Here's the thing, verse 14. What excites me about this pressing on is at the end of the journey, there's a prize. I can't tell you. I don't know what that prize is. I don't know if it's going to come in the form of a crown or some other kind of reward. I don't know what it is. But this much I'm going to tell you, whether it sounds spiritual or not, I want that prize. When it's all said and done, I want it. I want to be faithful to that man who saved my soul from hell. And press on, and press on, and press on, and hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and get the prize at the end. I hope that all of us will keep pressing on. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in church. Thank you for the word of God. Help us, Lord. Help us, please, to keep pressing on. In Jesus' name, amen.